The chaotic, backward colossus that was 19th-century Russia is reflected in the scope of Mussorgsky's opera. It opens in the courtyard of a monastery, where the police are goading the assembled crowd into endorsing the regent Boris to be the next Tsar of all the Russias. Contrast this with the excerpt from Aida you just heard. You can feel the temperature drop as we move from Egypt to Moscow. Today's excerpts are taken from an EMI recording featuring Martti Talvela as Boris, Nikolai Jeda as Dmitri, Leonard Mrotz as Pimen, Olga Haugland as Varlam, and Bohdan Poprocki as Szwiski. Jerzy Semkow conducts the Polish Radio National Symphony Orchestra and the Polish Radio Chorus of Krakow. And special thanks to Nicholas Ivor Martin for his help in preparing this commentary, and to EMI for providing the musical excerpts. The police state nature of this scene is eerily modern. But the crowd doesn't care about the political sham being played out. They're begging for help for their starving children. And the scene becomes even more primal with the entrance of a chorus of pilgrims begging God to save the Orthodox and punish the unbelievers. Boris has been elected Tsar by the real power, the boyars, but the masses are only told that they must come to the Kremlin tomorrow. At this point, the audience may be as confused as the chorus about the political situation. The reign of Boris, from 1598 to 1605, marks the beginning of a period of bloody civil war in Russia. Boris was the trusted advisor of Ivan IV, the fearsome Tsar who built Russia by foreign conquest. Boris was present when Ivan attacked and murdered his own son and heir, another Ivan. When the formidable Tsar died, he left Boris as one of three regents for one of his other sons, Fyodor. Fyodor was no Ivan the Terrible. He needed a regent because, although he was almost 30 years old, he was mentally disabled. Boris's ascension after Fyodor's death ended a dynasty that had ruled Russia for seven centuries. The resulting political instability would last until Mikhail Romanov, a relative of Ivan IV's wife, assumed the throne in 1613, where his family would remain until deposed by the Bolshevik Revolution of 1917. Fyodor and the murdered Ivan were not Ivan IV's only sons. Another boy, Dmitri, died under mysterious circumstances, possibly murdered by Boris. It is this murder that forms the political background to the opera. Dmitri had not been considered legitimate by the Orthodox Church. His mother was Ivan's eighth wife, and he was dead. But that did not stop two men from leading revolts by pretending to be the Tsarevich Dmitri. The second scene of the opera takes place in the square of the Kremlin, where Boris is crowned Tsar.
Oh!
Notice that the singing up to now has been almost exclusively choral. The opera is about Boris, but it is also about Mother Russia. Opera came to Russia relatively late, and when it did arrive, most of it was imported from Italy. This began to change towards the end of the 18th century, when an interest in Russian opera first emerged. When Catherine the Great was not causing other kinds of trouble, she wrote several opera librettos, including one for the Spanish composer Vicente Martín y Soler, a contemporary of Mozart's and a star in his day. She also founded the Imperial Opera that would premiere Boris almost exactly 100 years later. Mussorgsky was using Russian opera to promote Russian nationalism, just as Wagner was promoting pan-Germanism in Europe by writing operas based on the Volksungsage and the Nibelungenlied. The composer did this by basing his opera on a play by Alexander Pushkin, who was widely considered to be the founder of Russian literature. The original Boris libretto uses almost verbatim the words of Pushkin's play. Equally significant is the story itself, which covers an important turning point in Russian history. The other thing to notice about that last excerpt is the orchestration. Mahler complained that Puccini's Tosca was a continuous cacophony of bells, but it has nothing on Boris's coronation for the sheer saturation of rich, resonant old bells. That chorus is in C major, the scale created by playing only the white keys. For composers who believe that each scale has its own emotional content, C major is the happiest and most open key. None of those nasty flats or sharps skulking about, I suppose. Mussorgsky was a great believer in such ideas, so when Boris answers the people's praise by talking about his own heavy forebodings, it's significant that Mussorgsky lurches into C minor, a tragic key that Beethoven equated with heroic struggle. Mussorgsky's jumping about from C major to C minor without a graceful transition is one of the reasons that his fellow composers thought he was a musical maniac, talented, but unpredictable and maybe borderline insane. It is also the reason that later composers, including Debussy, Ravel, Janáček, and Shostakovich, so much admired him. Boris doesn't stay in C minor long. You'll hear the switch back to C major in this next excerpt, because as soon as Boris is done brooding, he pauses for a measure and then flops back to C major to talk about the glorious rulers of Russia's past.
Народ на мир.
Although the next scene is worlds away, both in casting and tone, there is a connecting link. At his coronation, Boris pays obeisance to the great rulers of Russia's past. This subject is of equal importance to the monk Pimen, whom we now find writing a history of Russia in his cell in Chudov Monastery. Listen to the wandering bass line in the strings in this next excerpt. It's associated with Pimen, presumably because the monk is constantly scribbling notes. One has no trouble thinking of it as what writing would sound like if it were music. It even slows down as Pimen's pen slows down towards the end. After Wagner, we think of such musical themes as leitmotifs, but Mussorgsky uses them more like the idée fixe of Berlioz in the Symphonie Fantastique. The opera abounds in such motifs. There are themes for the false Dmitri, for Pimen, for Boris's daughter Xenia, and for the child Fyodor, whom he murdered. But there are also themes of emotions and states of being, such as Boris's anxiety, his foreboding, and his guilt. Pimen has a disciple, the young Grigori, who wakes from a recurring nightmare. In the dream, Grigori climbs a high tower overlooking the people of Moscow. The crowd laughs at him, and he falls.
А мой покой бесовской мечтанье тревожило, и враг меня мутил. Мне снилась лестница крутая, вела меня на башню. С высоты мне виделась Москва, что муравейник, народ внизу на площади кипел и на меня указывал со смехом. И стыдно мне, и страшно становилось, и, падая, стремглав, я пробуждался.
It's not too difficult to figure out what Grigori's dream is about. Listening to Pimen praising the old Tsar Ivan, Grigori realizes that he is the same age as the murdered Tsarevich Dmitri. Ignoring the unhappy end of his dream, Grigori decides to steal Dmitri's identity so he can overthrow Boris. When we next see him, Grigori has travelled as far as the Lithuanian border, accompanied by two vagrants disguised as monks. All three men go into an inn, where they find the hostess singing a love song. What follows is a great comic scene, and among the few light moments in the opera.
Сильный день, посажу тебя, сей за селезня, окна чистенький, пульпо, под раки.
Grigori asks the hostess for directions to the border, while his companions, Varlam and Misail, get drunk. Boris Godunov is one of the greatest bass roles in the repertoire, but the character is not the only bass of the opera with a great aria. Varlam sings about Ivan the Terrible's siege of the city of Kazan. Scene ends with the arrival of the police, who have been looking for Grigori. They have a warrant for the young man's arrest, but they are illiterate, so they ask Grigori to read the physical description. Grigori agrees, but substitutes a description of Varlam to escape detection himself. When Varlam catches the switch, Grigori pulls out a dagger and escapes through the window. You can hear Varlam painfully sounding out the words of the warrant, because he can read, but not well.
Let's go!